You know, I'm really excited about welcoming you here because this talk tonight is really one in a long line of amazing evening entertainments. Gripping experiences. On Saturday night, we had the Miss America pageant. On Sunday, I think we had the Actors Guild's Awards. And then Monday, of course, last night, we had the State of the Union. And so in the tradition of this long line of amazing, gripping presentations and experiences, we have tonight our talk. It's just amazing. Someone asked me if I was really a warm-up for the Super Bowl. No, it's not true. I know there are lots of rumors like that around there, but it's really not true. This stands on its own. And so certainly through the last three evenings of riveting entertainment, we have indeed set the foundation and the stage for just the best of them all right here. But actually, before I begin, I really would like to, on this Tuesday, I would like to thank the people of Florida for voting and selecting me as their presidential candidate. You know, really, I grew up in Florida, and it's just humbling and just exciting to be that presidential candidate. I figured if I couldn't be Pope, you know, being president is probably the next best thing. So you're probably tired of all this drivel. And want to get around to the topic that you kind of know about, but really don't at the same time. So here we go. Miracles. Miracles, how they happen and what they imply. That's the real title of today's talk, by the way. You know, so often in our mentoring groups, our retreats, our seminars, the word miracle gets used. It gets used a lot by me and a lot by everybody there. In fact, in last September's Sacred Sites of Italy trip, we centered the whole experience around miracles, and we visited the sites where particular saints were people for whom and around whom miracles happened. So how really neat it is that we have a whole hour together to talk about, to play in, and to have what I truly intend to be an intimate experience of miracles. And so often I think miracles just happen. Often they come out of nowhere with little to no warning. And then again, sometimes they hit us in ways that we could have never expected. Often these miracles are the exact answers to our prayers, whether we've verbalized those prayers or simply subconsciously wished for them without knowing it. Yet other times miracles take a form that we could or would never even think to ask for. So what is a miracle anyway? Well, many of us might answer that question something like this. Well, a miracle is something out of the ordinary. It's something different from the laws of nature or physics that we've come to rely on or believe in. It's something that happens from or is given by a bigger force, a force bigger than you and me. It's a response to a human need by our divine source. And even we might say it's a natural part of our everyday life that we've not yet learned to wrap our minds around or to fully understand. And of course, as you can imagine, I agree with every one of those descriptions. And frankly, I agree with whatever additional formulation may happen to be floating around in your own mind or consciousness at this particular moment. What I'd like to do in this talk today is to invite a miracle. Yep, that's right. I'd like to invite with us a miracle. And as I talk about miracles and how they happen and what they imply, I'd like for each and every one of us to join with that bigger force called life right here, right now. And if it feels right to you, let yourself invite a miracle in your own way, in whatever way just comes to you, but mostly just let it happen. So as I continue talking, hopefully you'll understand a little bit more why I'm taking this approach. As always, my words from this point on are background music. In fact, you probably wish those jokes up front were background music instead of right up front, but you know, that's just, I guess, your lot in life. Anyway, A miracle is indeed a wondrous thing. By the way, I have to tell you, about once a month I drink some tea with caffeine, and I happen to do that this afternoon. And so when I do that, usually the results are a bit disastrous. My brain clicks into high gear, and the humor that comes out is usually worse than usual. So you note I'm not apologizing for that. I'm just sort of warning you ahead of time. So back to miracles. A miracle is indeed a wondrous thing. Its very non-ordinariness, its outside-the-box quality, and its, in fact, seeming non-respect for our usual modes of creation lead many of us to one simple conclusion, and it's this: a miracle is a welcome, beautiful, and refreshing, even if too long awaited, event in our lives. And so we want to ask ourselves this important question: how do miracles happen? How do they happen? First of all, though, on our way to answering that question, we would or might all probably agree, even though we might define a miracle uniquely and differently, that is, in our own specialized way, that a miracle is something that does have and play an intimate part in our lives. What I mean is this: one of us, oh, let's call it your best friend, for example, one of us might see a miracle as such an extraordinary, exceptional, unusual event that that person might believe a miracle will visit us only once or twice in somebody's lifetime. Someone else, on the other hand, oh, let's say you, might define a miracle as a daily, even hourly, even minutely occurrence, seeing and experiencing many of life's daily events as miraculous interventions in his or her life. And as always, both of these precious people, your best friend and you, are, you guessed it and you knew I was going to say this, absolutely correct. A miracle is what each of us individually experiences it to be. Miracles are personal, after all. What I define as a miracle, you might not, but if it touches me in a way that is transformative, is deeply, deeply moving, then it may be quite miraculous. Because each of us creates and perceives our reality uniquely, we have an intimate connection, even a bond with life and its special way of working. And miracles are one of the many ways that life creates itself anew in that unique movie called Your Life or My Life. So let's get back to the question: how do miracles happen? What I'd like to do is start with, would you believe, a personal story. Then we can use this story to understand and, back to my initial suggestion, invite miracles into our lives. Actually, this story that I'm about to share is already in print. It's in our own Marcy Shymoff's new and wonderful book called Happy for No Reason, just published this month by Free Press, and already, I might add, a runaway bestseller. Congratulations, Marcy. And because my short story, actually it's a short story about Donna and me, and she neatly has no idea I'm going to tell this, is already in print, I'm going to just read it to you. What? Gee, you're thinking, how lazy can the guy get? He's going to read it to us? Well, yes, of course I am, but see, what you don't know is that I'm not just going to read it. I'm going to use my amazing skills of voice fluctuation, tonal nuance, and sparkling personality to make this reading one of the most astonishing experiences you've ever had. Gee, that almost impressed me. So, now, are you ready? Here goes. A number of years ago, my wife, Donna, and I just started to start over in a whole new area of the country. By the way, I didn't the math. That was like 25 years ago. We were both 6 years old, as you can imagine. Back to the text. We left our old lives behind, including our old level of income. And about a year after our relocation, we found ourselves low on funds. We were doing our best, but there just wasn't enough money coming in, and we were running out. So we decided to take a day off and spend some time at a nearby Trappist monastery, hanging out in their church and just opening ourselves to grace, or what here I might like to call miracles. And as Donna and I sat together in the chapel, we didn't really ask for anything specific. We didn't say, please give us money. We just invited whatever. We invited grace. We sat quietly with an attitude of openness and receptivity. And we put ourselves in the presence of divine grace, in the presence of abundance, in the presence of the maternal, all-loving expression of universal power. I remember thinking, quote, I don't have the ideal solution. Your response is always so much bigger than what I'd come up with anyway. So I put myself in total connection to you. Whatever you send as the perfect response to this situation, I'm open to. Well, that was phase one. After an hour or so, we left the monastery and started phase two, which was to just let it all go. We went about our lives, trusting that, sure enough, the perfect response would happen. Well, the very next day, we received a call from our accountant in the old city, telling us that he had just come across a mistake he'd made and was sending us a check for $6,000. Then that same afternoon, Donna got a call from the local college that she had spent some time teaching courses in, offering her a summer teaching job and, would you believe, a full-time position for the next year. Then 2 days later, we got a $3,500 check in the mail from an insurance company that we'd never heard of, paying on a policy that we never knew we had. Then an hour later, another phone call came in offering me a sizable consulting job. Well, I was surprised, and you can imagine I wasn't. Though I had no doubt that something would happen, the generosity and the speed of the response was, in fact, astounding to me. I guess that's why they call it amazing grace. And that's my story, and that's what I'm sticking to. And I thank Marcy for including that story in her book about Happy for No Reason. Well, that series of events literally felt like a miracle to me. Come to think of it, it felt like a whole string of miracles. So let's look a little bit at what happened. The first thing that happened, of course, was Donna and I opened ourselves to receive. Granted, we didn't beg, we didn't demand, we didn't even whimper in a way that would certainly invite God to feel sorry for us. Well, though, I must admit, that last approach is always pretty tempting. You know, even though it never works, it's just so self-satisfying. I love it. Nope. All we did was to be open and receptive. Then the second thing that happened was we let go. Some, perhaps those of a 12-step orientation, would say we let go and let God. We didn't dwell on our situation in our minds. We didn't keep reminding life of our need, even though I've never been quite sure how reliable life's memory over time really is. That was a joke, by the way. Nope. All we did was go about our lives trusting. We let go, trusting. Now, we weren't trusting in a specific response. We weren't even trusting that the response once materialized would look like what our conscious or subconscious assumptions about it may have pictured. And in fact, we weren't even trusting that there would be any response at all. We were just trusting that whatever was perfect to happen would indeed happen. Sometimes, you know, no response is the perfect response, in that a response to our present state of mind might only reinforce that no longer appropriate state of mind. So a non-response can wisely invite us to regroup our consciousness, regroup our way of thinking, regroup ourselves, and look at our situation from an entirely new and more helpful angle. And sure enough, that's usually when the response comes. Well, that leads us to the other side of the miracle equation. We've talked about what we do. The other side is, how does life create miracles? How does life create miracles? But wait, before we proceed with life's involvement in life's magical creation, how about if we revisit my opening remark that we're here today to invite a miracle? Well, now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, You know, Bill's never going to get to the real point of how miracles happen. He's just like wasting time here because he really doesn't maybe know how miracles happen. Or maybe you're thinking he's lost his mind and he can't stay on the subject. Well, of course you're thinking those reprehensible thoughts. But guess what? You just might be a little wrong. There might just be a method to my madness. So let's find out. You know, I never should have had that caffeine. It's really not a good influence on me, let alone you. So imagine with me for a moment that your creative nature is filled with a phenomenal, amazing quality. It can create anything. Your creative nature, the creative nature of life, can create literally anything. That's right, anything, material or immaterial, mental or emotional, physical or spiritual, cosmic or terrestrial, literally anything. That means that the creative force of life, within you, as you, around you, in the world and beyond, knows innately how to create, and specifically how to create anything and everything. Well, as Donna's and my story illustrates, the style of miraculous creation that followed our day at the Trappist Monastery took a number of forms, one of them being a funny check from an unknown, unrecognized, in fact, by us, unrecognizable insurance company related to an insurance policy that we had no record of and no recollection of. We wondered, could it be that this mysterious check was simply created out of nothing and plopped in our hands as life's perhaps inventive way of saying, here, let me demonstrate my love for you by helping you recognize how totally abundant my creative power is. So let's invite a miracle together. And let's use our precious story as just a little bit of a guideline for that invitation. Join with me now, if you will, if you feel like it, in first gently recognizing what the situation is that might be calling out on its own for an infinite response. What your situation is, the situation of someone near you, what it is that might be just reaching out, whether you're aware of it or not, for some miracle. Take whatever comes into your mind right now at this moment. Quietly acknowledge it, then right now, let it go. Let it find its own place in the creative juices of life. Let it and life find their own inventive style of response and just be open and receptive. Just be open and receptive to whatever the response or the seeming non-response might be. And now open, if it feels right, forget about it. As we go back to talking about how life creates miracles. You know, my own sense is that life is a miracle. And this to me is a really, really central point. Life is the miracle. It's a miracle. Life has a nature in both its essence and its expression that is far beyond our human comprehension, and that operates or works or creates or expresses or manifests in ways that we only have a minuscule concept of. Life is its own miracle. And so everything that protrudes from it and manifests in it is a true miraculous event. Your own birth, for example, was a miracle. The very fact that a mysterious phenomenon called life force keeps you breathing and living is a miracle. The way your body predictably creates itself anew daily with a gazillion number of interactive neural and subcellular mechanisms and activities is a miracle. The very fact that right now we can be holding a piece of equipment in our hands and talking and listening to each other is equally a miracle. Our human power to think and conceptualize, then inventively express our thoughts to each other, is utterly wondrous. the multiple dimensions of life, and how they dramatically interplay and co-create is amazing. It's a miracle. A baby's first cry, the wind's magical touch, the sun's gentle warmth, nature's intimate loving embrace, the feel of a treasured body close to our own, the joy of an intimate bond of love with another person, the peace that comes from resting in life's silence, the unending manifested power of all creation, the thunderous roar of the ocean's waves, the wondrous journey of your own life-giving breath passing through your lungs and blood vessels into every cell of your body, the first bite and taste of a delicious, juicy apple, your own heart's gentle reminder of your awesome beauty in and through its every rhythmic beat, the indescribable wonder of a glorious sunrise or subtle sunset, the incalculable power of now. All of these and millions of other moments are glorious manifestations of a life that knows only how to put forth its creative, miraculous nature in us, as us, around us, between us, among us, through us. So how does life create miracles? Simply by being itself. Simply by being itself. Not by trying, not by anything, but simply letting go and letting its natural qualities stream forth without effort, with ease, with flow, with no thought, no decision-making, only with grace and love and devotion for all its creations, which in fact are all aspects of its very self. So this has some implications. The first implication, of course, is that you and I are not only creations of life or life's creatures, we are life. We are life itself, you and I, part and parcel of that infinite source and force that creates without thinking and knows exactly what response to produce for each and every situation. We, you and I, are an intimate part of the miracle, including its creative source, its inventive inspiration, its remarkable expression. We are indeed the miracle every minute of every day. And the second implication is that creation and miracles happen not primarily through our conscious human minds, as sometimes pop psychology would invite us to believe, but through inviting our mind out, and farther out into its own outer realms, into those reaches beyond the tangible, and through uniting ourselves with the utter mystery and majesty and mind-boggling miraculousness of life. So we let go into the all. We let go into the all and its amazing capacity to express perfection in and only in the moment. Yes, we become the all, just as every one of us here is doing right now. We open to that magical, mysterious moment, aware that every possibility of life is contained therein, and is contained in this very moment right now, and that an infinite knowing automatically selects the most perfect and wondrous response for this and any special moment. We become that knowing in its pure, essential, amazing, wondrous elegance. And that leads us to a third implication. It's this: the more we let go into this unending mystery, the more we let our awareness be focused on our allness, the more we invite miracles from that expansive place of all possibilities, the more we're in a position to start noticing, and specifically noticing three things. One, the many miraculous dynamic, coincidental, now noticeable creations that magically appear over and over, either out of nowhere or from a prolonged life-orchestrated setup that's been waiting for just this moment. Second, we notice the absolute perfection of each and every one of those creations, whether it appears to give us what we think or thought we wanted, or whether it lets us become acutely aware that that desired form is truly not on the table of contents for this moment. And third, we notice how each creation, each solution, each gift, each blessing, each heartbreak, disappointment, joy, each manifestation, each moment creates you anew, makes you into a bigger and stronger you, propels you to the next version of self, gives you the next piece of your higher self that you need right here in this human form called you, takes you another step into your destined and wondrous presence, makes you more and more into what you really incarnated to be and become and experience. And why does it do that? Just because you deserve it. Just because you were born for this and for this exact moment. Just because you built each and every miracle into your own life path. Just because you're you, and you wouldn't have it any other way. Now, let's go back a bit, if you will, to our invitation, the invitation of a miracle. Notice something with me, please. What's been happening within your own heart, or psyche, or body, or life, just during this time that we've been conversing? Just let your focus go to yourself and ask, not so much ask your mind, but ask your bigger awareness, what's been happening? My guess is that some version of a miracle has been forming, or the basis for a miracle has been building, or a preparation of your own insides, to use a technical term, for that miracle has been taking place. Also, I'm guessing that the presence of life, which is the miracle itself, is more fully present within you, more active within your human consciousness, more alive in your dynamic energy field. And that this awesome presence, which again is the miracle, is now a more intimate part of you, and you a more intimate part of it, and that from now on you and life can't feel separate like maybe before, and that you and life are partners, one united co-creative force, one united field of consciousness and creation, one undeniably rich presence and force that knows no end and maybe has no beginning, but lives majestically, powerfully in the eternal now of life. In the eternal now of life. We've invited the miracle. Then we let go. And we let ourselves be open and receptive. Then we realized our total oneness with the miracle itself called life. From there, we watched life's daily miracles move inside us, around us, through us. We allowed our own consciousness even to be rearranged into life's consciousness. And we slowly, lovingly, gently moved into life's loving embrace. We became life. And right now, we are life. We are the miracle. And as we, right now, sit in the central womb of life's wonder, just being in and perhaps celebrating the eternal now, we have only one option, there is only one option, that of being the miracle, that of knowing that we are the miracle, that of celebrating the miracle of life and of self, the miracle that is right now. Watching, and I invite you to do this right now if you feel like it, watching and noticing the pictures and thoughts in our mind, pictures, thoughts depicting hints about portrayals of this moment's miracle, or feeling our bodies or our emotions, subtle announcement of the miracle as it's being quietly enjoyed in the deeper fabric of our human form. And finally, all there is in our vision is one unending phenomenon, one endless miracle of life. Like a crystal, a singular magical light with 1,000 different expressions. We are one, you and I, right now. All life is one right now. And what a wonder we are, what a wonder life is, what a miracle it all is, and what a miracle you are. You know, for me, what a joy it is every day of my life to see and celebrate you as the divine miracle that you are every moment. And that's what I do. That's how I'm with you every moment. Holding you in my heart, seeing you as that miracle, celebrating you as that miracle, even when you might momentarily forget, even when life's abundance and gifts might seem hidden, even when your human eyes might fog up a bit or lose their expansive vision. So I want you to know that every day of my life, I hold you there in a tender, love-abounding place in my heart. Holding you there with the possibility that you embrace the miracle of life for which you were created. And also in that heartful, soulful center that we share, I open myself to being whatever vehicle, whatever support for innumerable blessings, simply to flood your life to whatever degree you allow, in whatever way your consciousness is open, in whatever way you invite and say yes to everywhere. And perhaps most of all, I utter an unutterable prayer that you notice, that you see, that you embrace, that you participate in, and that you become, that you celebrate the miracle of life that you are and we are, in whatever way and to whatever degree you choose. And that happen in that phenomenal, wonder-filled, unending moment called the eternal now, which is, of course, right now. Thank you. Thank you for being the miracle that you are. I love you. It's been such a joy to spend these moments with you.